Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the last show in September, the September 27th, 2015 edition of Dr. Number 14's Best SF Show. And today we're going to be reviewing some finales of The Last Ship, Season 2, season finale of Extant, the series finale of Under the Dome, Beauty and the Beast, the season finale, not sure if it's going to be the season finale, series finale or not, plus Continuum and Z Nation, the premieres, respectively season 4 and season 2. So we've got like about 20 shows, so we're just going to hit the high points of each one instead of doing a plot-by-plot detail summary. So The Last Ship, A More Perfect Union, episode 213, it's been doing very well in the ratings, received a 0.7 with 2.754. And it all has to do with a third in command after the Ramsey's brothers, who's still at large, Kevin McDowell. And basically, he intends to spread the contagion. And so it's up to the crew of the Nathan James to stop him. And they finally get McDowell. And they have to keep the infected people contained until the Hilo arrives and sprays the cure on them. And it's via an aerosol, the cure that spread. And then they head to St. Louis, and the crowds are there, and they spread the cure even more. And Tex sees his daughter, and he introduces her to Rachel. The Master Chief is reunited with the parents. And the president is officially sworn in. And I guess to set up for season 3, the president wants Chandler to be the chief of naval operations. And Rachel is also leaving as well. And Tom says goodbye to Rachel. But then one of McDowell's men shoots Rachel at the end. Now, I doubt if she's dead. I don't think that's going to happen. But it was still, I thought, a pretty suspenseful ending. Okay, this brings us now to the two-part season finale of Extant, episode 211, Zugzwang, which is a chess move to weaken one's position. And it did drop in the ratings from a 0.8 to a 0.6, the 4.74 million viewers. And then Double Vision picked up a little bit from 0.6 to 0.7 with 4.51 million viewers. Finally, 213, The Greater Good, it maintained that 0.7 rating. So actually we have three extants that we have to review. Ooh, this is going to be something. Well, Tobias Shepherd is dead, and Molly and JD need to find Nicholas Cauteron to shut down the humanics, and Ethan is with them. And so they are able to track Cauteron down. And a woman is there who escorts them in, and she's a humanic but can't speak, and her name is Frankie. And Cauteron says he did not kill John Woods and says they designed together this computer interface called Talar that the government took over. And, in fact, it was Talar, the computer, that killed John because he was going to shut down the humanics. So he has an amulet, and it contains the kill switch to shut down all the humanics. So as this is going on, Cauteron says there's a way to stop Taylor as well as the humanics, and it is that in that pendant, that kill switch, he developed a worm to take it down. And Qadiran gives Mali instructions for the worm, and then he gives her the pendant, and then he surrenders to the governmental authorities. And she puts it on her neck, so that amulet. So that was the first episode. And then in the two-part season finale, Double Vision, yeah, it's got the trope there of evil doppelganger. Basically, Nicholas Cauderon is captured, and Taylor informs Lucy that Mali has something that Cauderon gave her. And Mali gives Charlie the opportunity to destroy the monster he created, namely Lucy. So Mali shows him the nanotech, the self-replicating worm that can destroy Taylor, but they have to get into the facility to shut down the grid. And so basically Ethan returns to GSC and meets Madam Secretary Fiona. And Fiona gets in contact with Mali and tells her the real enemy is Taylor, not the hybrids, and she can shut Taylor down. And she also finds out, too, that the humanics are going to spread the virus around the world, a virus that's going to kill humans. And so Fiona does a simulated power grid shutdown and also overheats the system so JD can get in along with Mali and the hybrid alien child Tara. And the grid shuts down, but Taylor reactivates the grid. And they're ready to abort the mission, but then Mali uses her super alien powers to control the guards along with Tara to stop firing. And what happens is Lucy contacts Mali and says Fiona is dead along with other humans at the base itself. So they get away in the confusion, but Fiona had to be sacrificed. And then Ethan finds out Julie is at the humanic lab. And then we find out, this is why it's called Double Vision, that Lucy creates a humanic that looks exactly like Mali, who subsequently shoots JD in this episode. So the plot thickens, and of course, it's moving at a very quick pace. So in Extend episode 213, The Greater Good, JD is bleeding out, and the real Mali finds JD while Ethan and Charlie find Julie before her oxygen gives out, and Mali gives JD some of her blood, and he recovers. But he then aims a gun at her because he thinks she's the enemy. And Mali reads his mind and says they need to leave right now. And Mali then sees a video of herself and sees that they made an exact replica of her. Meanwhile, JD is healing fast because his wound is completely gone because of Molly's blood. And Jules says if they kill Taylor, Ethan will probably die too. But Ethan is willing to go ahead and do this. So Mali prepares to kill Taylor. So they shut down the power. Eris is with his group too, the hybrids, and they get to Taylor's server room. But the hybrids are down because they tangled with Mali X, the doppelganger. And meanwhile, the group gets lost and separated, and Charlie is shot by Mali X, and Lucy is ready to finish him, and she finds the amulet, and she needs to ingest it to sacrifice herself. But she does, but it's a fake, it's a copy. Mali finds the server, she runs into Mali X, they fight. JD arrives but can't tell the real Mali, but then he shoots Mali X because he can't fake her eyes. And then JD is rejecting her blood and burning up, but he's okay by the end of it. And Mali X is still alive, and she yanks out her power supply, and Lucy gives her the amulet and tells her what server to put it in. And she does, and all the humanics die, including supposedly Taylor. And then Ethan is alive because John protected him. He developed a counter program for all this, as well as the Eris and the hybrids are alive. So she shows Eris off to the GSC, but a man has basically survived. Well, actually, Taylor has put his computer consciousness into this man's or humanic's body, so he walks out. So I have a feeling Extant is done with. I really do. I think it's over and done with. Okay. I wanted to play the 1999 Year 2 extended theme just for a moment, and then I'll return. I'm still connected up so that we're broadcasting okay. So that was the major reason. And then I had to step out a little bit to wet my whistle. So Beauty and the Beast, episode 313, Destined, was a season finale with a 0.2, and it matched the previous week's performance at 760,000 viewers. Well, what is happening here is Liam is opening up cases, old Beast cases, so Vincent's and Kat's lives are affected. And JT, meanwhile, is trying to make Vincent superhuman using Liam's blood sample so that he can combat Liam. But then JT is arrested by Detective O'Hara, and so Vincent needs to stop Liam. So he tracks him to a cemetery, and Homeland Security is there and takes Vincent away as Liam watches. And they interrogate Vincent, who says he's being framed, and he's released for 24 hours as they build a case. So Vincent wants to come clean as to being a Beast, so he exposes himself to the agents so that he can point the finger at Liam. JT is released and due to the Department of Homeland Security, because Vincent now wants to work with them. And then Liam kills one of the DHS agents, and Vincent has to knock out the other to escape. And the police follow Vincent to the roof, and he gets shot as he jumps off and dies, supposedly. And the doctors are trying to resuscitate him. And then JT injects him with the superhuman healing serum, and he awakens. And this was all intended to lure Liam out, because Kat said Vincent stopped his heart to draw Liam out. So Liam is at Kat's place, and he takes Kat to the tunnels underneath the city and locks her in a cell. That was really good, too, because the original Beauty and the Beast, they lived underground. And he killed Rebecca, Liam, for rejecting his love, the turn of the century, and he wants her to suffer now. And so Vincent comes and, in a brutal act, yanks Liam's heart out, killing him. And DHS is going to protect Vincent, but the genie is now out of the bottle. So, in a surprising move, Vincent and Kat get married on her rooftop. Tess is the minister. And that's how it ends. It ends on a very nice note, you might say. Okay, now what about Under the Dome, the season finale? Well, we have two episodes. Incandescence, and then The Enemy Within. And both received a 0.8 rating, which was the all-time series low. That's why it's been canceled. And so Julie and Barbie rejoin Hector and find out that Junior killed those children. And the cure actually enhanced the alien source that was in Junior. And then Christine uses the energies of the dome to cocoon the queen, but the calcification is proceeding too quickly. And the oxygen is dropping in the dome, and so they're all going to suffocate. So they need to leave the dome soon. And Joe, the brilliant kid, needs to replace the egg as an energy source for the amethyst. But what? And he's going to use the radio station generator as a frequency to activate the amethyst to take down the dome. And then the aliens are going to spread their seeds and spread their influence around the world. So Christine goes to the cocoon that the queen is in, and she transfers her life source to the baby. And then Julie and Barbie arrive at the plant, and Barbie throws Christine to the ground. And then the queen breaks out of the dome and moves very quickly and away. And Christine is different now because the transfer is not complete and she should be dead. Why she's still alive, we don't know. And so Christine is brought to James, and Christine orders that the kids should not be killed by James. And James realizes now that Christine is human and starts choking her, but Barbie fights James, and Julie knocks him out. And then Joe gets a transmitter from the radio station, and he's setting it up. And Christine is human now, and the queen yanks Christine and puts her on the dome surface to die, and she disappears. So that was the first episode of Under the Dome. The second one, The Enemy Within, the queen talks to the townsfolk of Chester's Mill. She's the new leader now that Christine is gone, and she says there's an enemy within. And so Barbie and Julie are taken, and the queen says hi to her dad, and they're put in a cell. And she says her name is Dawn, and she's also taken Nori, Joe, and Big Jim, too. And so James, meanwhile, goes psychotic, killing Dawn's second-in-command, Sam. And he tells Dawn he killed Sam, so she makes him his second. And then Dawn whistles, and the amethysts are activated, and Big Jim is ready to shoot her when the dome comes down. And so basically Joe sacrifices himself to get the dome down, and he does, and the dome is destroyed, and it's gone. And then Junior stops Jim from shooting Dawn, and Dawn gets away, and the soldiers come, and Jim has no choice but to stab his son, and Junior dies. And then Barbie prevents Dawn from leaving the tunnels, and Barbie throws her down the shaft to supposedly her doom. And then the soldiers take the people, and their leader Walker interrogates Barbie about the events and gives Barbie a cover story along with the others that an experiment was being done by Hector Martin. There should be no mention of an alien invasion. If they agree, they will be free. And Big Jim makes a deal with the army too. So I really like this last part. A year later, Nori is now a soldier. Barbie is with Julia on a cycle, and they're talking about marriage, and he proposes to her. Big Jim, though, finds them. He's now a congressman, and they see a video of Dawn. And Nori, meanwhile, goes to the morgue and finds Joe alive. And Dawn, it looks like, has found another egg to start the process all over again. Wow. Okay, so now this brings us to Z Nation and Continuum. So let's talk about Z Nation, episode 201, The Murphy. And it's doing very well. It received a 0.4 with 943,000 viewers. The nuclear missile destroys the lab, but the team survives and they see the radioactive fallout. And Murphy, meanwhile, adjusts to his new molted condition. And he's become more zombie now. He gets a new attire, including a jacket. and the zombies follow him around the store. And it's Citizen Z basically relays to everyone that the CDC in California is offering a bounty if they bring Murphy to them. So now there's these bounty hunters pursuing them. And Cassandra is Murphy's right-hand woman, who is now part zombie herself because Murphy infected her. And so now she is doing his bidding. And Roberta, Warren, 10K, and Doc are together, and Mac rejoins Addie. So what else is going on here? Murphy's trained zombies at a strip bar, and Warren basically gets herself together and goes after Murphy, and she finds the stripper bar and Murphy there. But Murphy doesn't want to go to California, so he does a show instead. And Chantrell, a zombie stripper, throws around the pole and pulls her hand off. Then a man comes in looking for Murphy because he wants to take him to the highest bidder. But Murphy has the zombies attack them, and he and Cassandra get away with the team in pursuit. And then one, I know they're already in the third episode, but this pregnant woman appears at the end of this first episode looking for the father of her child, and it's Murphy. So this ought to make more sense, I think, as time goes on. At least I hope so. And so now we have Continuum, episode 401, The Lost Hours. And it dropped in the ratings, but there's only six episodes of Continuum. It received a 0.11 with 459,000. So this beacon was sent to the future by Brad, and these super soldiers come in suits, and they pursue Kira. And she gets knocked out, and she recovers and finds herself in the future. She's returned, and she's in med bay, and she's been asleep for 3 years after a terrorist attack. And what's happened is they induced a coma in her to treat her injuries, so she never got back to the future. And Carlos is there along with Alec. And Kira goes back to Alex and tells him that she wants to go home and wants Alec to send her back. Meanwhile, Curtis wants to help Kellogg and says his foot soldiers are there. And Kira sees Carlos and tells him to target Kellogg because Kellogg now has become all-powerful and has seized Alec's company. So Kira and Carlos go to Kellogg's party. And just as Alec locks down his servers, Kellogg calls Alec and knows he's behind the attack. And Kira wants Alec to find Brad and the soldiers and see if he's a victim or with them. And they find a location. Kira becomes invisible, but she's exposed and races up the stairs to the roof. And she gets zapped by one of the men. She recovers and the soldiers are there. And then Marcellus throws her off the roof, but Kira's suit protects her. Garza retrieves her. Wow, an enemy of hers. And Kira has a drink with Carlos from his flask to going home. And then Curtis meets Garza and wants her to take out Kellogg. And then Kellogg gets a device, and he puts it on the ground and touches it, and Kellogg from the future is projected. So a lot of time travel here in this storyline. Definitely a lot of time travel taking place. Okay. So I think that's it with everything we wanted to cover that was new. So now we have some Fear the Walking Dead, episode 102, 103, as well as The Strain, yes. And we wanted to do, so let's do The Strain first, episode 208, 209, and 210. So, an episode, and it's doing, I'm looking to see here, anywhere from a 0.5 to a 0.6. And it's already been renewed for a third season, so not to worry there. So, Kelly is in episode 208, Intruders. Kelly's given the power of speech by the Master. And she wears a red wig now and contact lenses to look more human. Meanwhile, F wants to shoot Aldrich Palmer, and he needs to get a gun from Fett's contact, Jimmy Woo, which he does. And meanwhile, Satrakian is trying to get the Oxido Lumen, that special book that can rid the world of the Master, from the Cardinal. But apparently he has another buyer, Audridge Palmer, too. So F is able to get the gun when he is able to perform surgery on Wu, and he's assisted by Zach. And F gets the rifle for free for his medical services. And then Gus and Angel need to get Quinlan appears to Gus and says he doesn't work for the Ancients. He's using them to get the Master and says he has to give up the girl to do that. Meanwhile, Ikors visits the Cardinal. He's there for the Lumen, and Ikors says he has a better offer for the Lumen. And Satrakian and F break in, and Ikors infects the Cardinal with the worms and gets away. And the Cardinal tells Satrakian where the Lumen is, and he gets Lane to release him from the evil. Then Kelly has found Zach. She says she misses him and that he's getting better, and Zach lets her in, but then she gets away using the vampire kids as a shield. And Zach sees she wants to hurt now F, as well as himself, too. So this brings us then to episode 209, The Battle for Red Hook, which I thought was probably the best episode of the entire season three. Ikors wants to hire a boatman to transport his vampire army into Red Hook tonight, 20 passengers, and he does. And Satrakian wants them to make a stand, to make a preemptive strike. So F and Satrakian talk to Councilwoman Justin Ferraldo, and they say the vampires have penetrated Red Hook, and the 20 vampires get into Red Hook, and they start infecting the people there. And what happens is they turn off all the power, and basically the vampires come, and they start shooting them. It was a probe, and more are going to be on the way, and they have to turn the power back. So while this is going on, Satrakian is going after Ikors. And meanwhile, hundreds of vampires are congregating, and they're ready to storm the blockade. So F, Nora, Fett, and Zach are in the bowels of the plant, and they kill the vamps, but one relays to Kelly the location of Zach. So Kelly goes there. Meanwhile, the vampires storm the blockade, and the men have to fall back, but then Councilwoman Ferraldo comes in with the humans that she's got helping her. And Dutch disposes some, and Nikki, her lesbian girlfriend, saves her by daggering one. The grid comes back up. The UV lights burn the creatures. And Kelly is by the control room, and Fett shoots her, and he injures Kelly, but again, she gets away. And then Ikors confronts Satrakian, but F shoots him, and Ikors is coming for him. And then both F and Satrakian shoot him. He's wounded and takes off. And just seeing them, Ferraldo says that the people of New York stopped these bastards. Ooh. So this brings us now to The Strain, episode 210, The Assassin, which, of course, is F. Justine Ferraldo wants money for the people's protection. She wants to instill a 1% tax, and the mayor does not like this. Meanwhile, Palmer wants to make amends with Coco. He loves her and will prove himself to her. And Satrakian keeps checking on leads for the Oxido Lumen. But F is with Dutch on, and this is the primary focus of the episode, on this mission to kill Palmer. So they're watching him and his secretary. And the mayor asks Audridge for a favor, wants Audridge to talk to Justine, and he says he will. So F plans to take him out then. And F waits for Palmer to show, and then F thinks he shoots him, but it's Coco, his secretary, not Audridge, and police get F and Dutch and take them into custody. Audridge confronts F in jail and says the world will not even notice when F dies. And basically, the master pays Audridge a visit and gives Coco some of his fluid and leaves. And Coco is shocked that now she is become a little bit vampirish, you might say. Meanwhile, the vampires, the Strigoi, that's what they're called, come into the police station. And Fett hacks his way in with Nora. They save F. But Dutch, unfortunately, was taken hours ago, and she's taken to the Mayfield Hotel, and basically she's being toyed with I-Course there. Meanwhile, Satrakian's final lead for the Lumen is in an apartment, and he finds it under a loose floorboard, but then he gets knocked down, and the book is taken away. Ooh, it's a lot of stuff happening here in this episode. Yes. Okay. And now we have Fear the Walking Dead, episode 102. So close yet so far, which received a 4.1 rating. It dropped from the premiere 4.9. And that dropped still further, 103, The Dog, from 4.1 to 3.6. So, but it's still holding its own, I would say. So that I know that we're still broadcasting. I want to be sure that we have a theme song that we can play. So here we go. Okay, so have to get back to, where am I? Okay, here we are. So close yet so far. So Maddie, Travis, and Nick are in a truck, and Alicia calls Maddie, and Matt has a fever and is really sick, and they are coming to get her. And basically they arrive and Travis finds a bite on Matt, her boyfriend, and Matt tells Alicia to go, so he starts to change. Meanwhile, Travis is going to get his son Chris along with his ex Liza while Maddie goes back to school, gets the principal's keys, breaks into a cabinet, and she's going to get drugs for her son Nick, and runs into Tobias, who wants his knife back, and she gives it to him. And Nick is really sick, meanwhile. So Travis goes to Liza's, contacts him via phone, and Chris says he's part of a protest now, Chris. So they, Liza and Travis go to the protest. They get Chris. They ask the police shoot a female zombie. They also get inside a barber shop, and everything is a mess on the outside. There's rioting. There's a shooting, but they do meet up with Salazar, his wife, and daughter. Meanwhile, Maddie, Tobias gets food for himself and his family at the school. Maddie returns the keys and hears something on the PA system. They race down the corridor, and she recognizes the principal, Artie, and he's now a zombie, and he attacks Tobias, so Maddie hits him over the head repeatedly with a fire extinguisher. And then Maddie is able to return home, gives Chris some of the drugs, Oxycontin. And then Travis calls Maddie and he tells her to go to the desert and he will basically catch up with her. So this now brings us to episode 103, The Dog, where Travis, Liza, Chris hole up at the Salazars while Maddie, Alicia, and Nick are at their home. And then the Salazars and Travis's group escape. And they see the zombies feeding, and the police are trying to maintain order. Unfortunately, Sullivan's wife, Griselda, is injured on her foot, and Travis gets in a truck. They take off, and Griselda needs a doctor. They go to a hospital, but it's a war zone. And so the Salazars want to go to Travis's place, and then we'll call their cousin to pick them up. And then Maddie hears sounds outside when the city loses power, and Nick sees a dog and brings him in. And he starts barking because one of the neighbors, Peter, has become a zombie. So they go outside to check on the next-door neighbors, Susan and Patrick. And Nick finds a gun and a rifle. But then a zombie gets inside their house. The dog tries attacking it, and it cries out. It's killed. And Travis returns and sees the zombie eating the dog. And then the zombies come for him, and it's Peter. And basically, Salazar shoots him in the head. And then again, and he's finally dead. And then Alicia has to fight off Susan. She's another zombie. And Nick tells them she's not sick, she's dead. And Maddie and Alicia want to go. Travis, though, wants to hold out for the night. And so Travis drags Peter's dead body outside. And Salazar thinks that Travis should burn Peter, but he buries him instead. And then Liza talks to Madison and says they need to support each other. Maddie says if she ever turns, Liza should take care of her, not Travis. And then Salazar shows Chris how to shoot. Travis is pissed by it. And then Maddie sees Susan, her friend, and Travis stops her from killing her, from hammering Susan. And then Travis and Maddie are leaving, and the Salazars wait for their cousin. But then Patrick comes home to Susan, Susan's husband, and the guards shoot Susan before she bites him. And then all these troops come in, they interrogate Maddie and Travis, and they take Patrick away with the dead Susan. So a lot of stuff going on. But I will admit one thing, and that is it's really slow moving. And I'm a little bit surprised by that I would say that it's slow moving, because at times The Walking Dead is slow moving too, but they have interesting characters, I would say, in The Walking Dead that just make it very, very, very enjoyable. So why don't we basically do some other music, and then we'll do the remaining shows, okay, for a while, I think. I think that would be good. Yes, yes. We have two Defiances, two Killjoys, two Dark Matters, and two Dominions to round out the night. So here we go. Dominion, episode 209, The Seed of Evil, and episode 210, House of Sacrifice. Well, in The Seed of Evil, it dropped from a 0.21 to a 0.17, but then it went back up to a 0.3 for House of Sacrifice. It's averaging anywhere from 771,000 viewers to 836,000 viewers. It's a little bit different, Dominion, than the first season, you know, where they're out on their own, these characters, but finally they're getting connected, reconnected up to Vega. But it's the journeys of the heroes, you might say. So Claire's military in the Seat of Evil is sitting the resistance, and David Wheel wants to attack the city. And David deduces that Erika has been compromised and that she's jailed. Meanwhile, Alex, Noma, and Michael are attacked by an eight-ball, and there are hundreds of them. And Julian has the amphora and is going to release it on Gabriel so he can possess his body. And so he puts some of the substance in his eyes, and Gabriel is in pain. And Gabriel recovers, and he has a darkness in him now. And meanwhile, Julian's army of eight balls are positioned, and they are sleeping but are awakened, and Michael protects Alex but then collapses. And Gabriel sees Michael in Julian, and then Gabriel is finally broken. And what happens is he pretends to break out. I take this back. He seems to be broken now that the amphora is put in him. While this is going on, Gates confronts Erika in jail, and he has 36 hours to live. She put a poison in him, and if Erika gets out, she's going to go to Helena to give him a cure, and then Gates collapses. Meanwhile, Julian transfers his essence into Gabriel, or tries, but then Gabriel spits it back. And Gabriel breaks out and forces Julian to spear himself to death, even though he manages to survive. Meanwhile, Michael, Noma, and Alex are at Vega's gates, and the Eight Ball Army is behind them. And Claire is shocked that Alex is alive, so she calls up the 3rd Battalion to save them. So the troops come to kill the Eight Balls. They welcome Michael back. The resistance, meanwhile, attacks the power station, and Ramirez takes the nuclear plant. And Alex talks to Claire and tells him she lost the baby, and they hug, and it's an emotional moment. And then Michael collapses again after having a vision of the prophet who he has returned. So in the second episode, House of Sacrifice, Michael is back in Mallory and sees the prophet and says he brought him back because the prophet wanted Michael dead to sacrifice himself for the town. And now he's in the coma. So the prophet protected Noma and Alex, and now he's going to put out the fire if Michael doesn't die, and everyone in Mallory will perish. So Michael wants to play this card game with the prophet for his life. And Michael wins, but needs to bring the chosen one to the prophet. And then Michael regains consciousness. Now, I'm not sure if the prophet is Satan or not, because Michael makes reference to another brother, Satan. And I don't know if that's the prophet or the prophet is foretelling the arrival of Satan. But in the meantime, Edward Risen is now a dyad, and Gabriel sees him and says he's one of them now. And Ramirez has taken command of the nuclear plant, but the core is leaking, and Alex will take Gates in to stop the meltdown. And Gates and Alex go to the plant. They get to the control room, and Ramirez holds them at gunpoint, and Alex is able to get Ramirez and shoots him. And basically, Gates needs to lower the rods manually, but he can't survive the radiation. So he locks himself in, and Gates says the people need to find a new home, and the rods will go critical soon enough, and Alex says he will do that. And Gates lowers the final rod, the temperature lowers, Gates dies, and Claire is distraught over that. Meanwhile, Edward gets the amphora, but Gabriel has Clementine, and he slashes her throat so Edward's angel side can take over and be Gabriel's soldier, which he is now, and he's called Duma. And David is cuffed and taken away, and then Gabriel unleashes amphora all over Vega. And Michael says Lucifer is alive too. So that's what I mean in terms of how did Lucifer get to be alive. Don't know that. Okay, so two more episodes of Defiance. 3:10, When Twilight Dims the Sky Above, received a 0.3 rating, and 3:11, Of a Demon in My View, and it dropped to a 0.21 rating. So, in Defiance, when Twilight Dims the Sky Above, the Olmec Taiken is with Stama in town, and he gets flowers for her, and Olmec plans to wake his people, and he's put his daughter Kinsey in stasis, and he intends to put his people on an island and wants Stama to go with him. She's going to consider it. Meanwhile, the Votanis Collective arrives in Defiance with Datek Tar, and Stama hugs him, and the Chancellor, Silura, wants to make an alliance with Defiance, and Ramtek was a rogue, and she wishes to apologize. Meanwhile, Datek has a biomechanical arm, and Nolan is suspicious and draws her gun, but the mayor tells him to leave, and Solara tells Datek to go too. And the VC wants to meet with the Olmec leader to make peace with them. But Nolan first starts a fight with Datek, and Irissa is scared of Nolan because he's changed. And then Datek makes love to Stama, but they have visitors, Amanda and Vice Chancellor Solura, and they want Stama's help to bring Olmec to them. Stama declines Taken's offer to go with them, but invites him to the VC reception. Meanwhile, Nolan is talking to this hallucination of himself. The reception commences. Taken shows up with Stama, and Nolan thinks the VC is going to kill Olmec. So he beats up the guards and finds a bomb in Solura's quarters. And Tevkin tells Stama to go and talks to Kinsey and wants to feed on them. And Nolan intrudes, brings a case there, but there's nothing in there, no bomb. And Nolan shoots Solura, and he's on the run with Orisa. And Nolan is hallucinating and sees himself as a soldier, and Orisa hypos him. And Nolan is now in jail, taken by the VC for killing their leader. And Orisa is with him at the end. So, and of a demon in my view, Berlin sees the Votanus Collective convoy in ruins because they were transporting Nolan and Orisa to the Badlands. And Orisa is there pinned down, and they were ambushed, and Nolan was taken. And it looks like Kinsey has chained Tevkin and is drawing blood from her father, so he is weak. And she took Nolan. And Doc is working with her, Doc Ewell, and doesn't want the VC to have him. So Kinsey operates on Nolan's head and removes the architect. And Orisa is in pain, but then it stops. So Kinsey actually killed the VC, and he thanks her, and she makes love to him. And the architect in his head made him delusional to see and seeing the shadow warrior in himself. Then Kinsey shocks him, and Nolan wakes up, strung up. And Nolan gets free and finds Tevkin and attempts to free him. Meanwhile, Berlin and Orisa see Amanda and tell her Nolan never made it to Brazil. So Amanda stages it that Nolan died in the raid, planting his clothes and badge at the scene. And then Kinsey throws Nolan aside, ready to eat him. Then Orisa comes in, gun blazing. Tevkin breaks free, orders Nolan and Orisa to leave. The Olmec fight, and he orders her to return to the sleep pod, and she stabs him in the neck. She stabs her father in the neck and kills him. And then it's 1978, WTF. The Olmec are in Harvester, and they pick up an Earth transmission. Don't know what that's all about. And then we go back to the present. Kinsey performs a ritual with her father and stabs his chest with her knife, marking him and her with blood on the forehead. And she guts him, pulling his heart out and eating it. And she returns to her ship and awakens her people to seize Earth. Time for the dread harvest. Ooh. Okay. This brings us to Killjoy's episode 108, Come the Rain, and episode 109, Enemy Kalem. So, and this has received anywhere from a 0.20 to a 0.26 rating. And it has been picked up for a second season. And in this, John has Dutch and Dobbin worked together on a warrant. But basically, John has basically set them into space to talk. And so Lucy doesn't move, so this was all set up by John so that Dutch and Dobbin can get along. And John has a number of questions he asks them to see if they can still function as a team. So basically, John and Doc, meanwhile, are exposed to this black rain acid alert, and they stranded in a bar alongside with these other undesirables. And John and Elvis, who he meets up, has to go through these underground tunnels that are protected from the rain to retrieve the stuff they need for this operation, because the leader of this gang actually gets shot in the bar and they need to operate on him. So the guard stops John. He convinces them he's going to get their man out, the guard that shot the leader. And the jack is basically for Doc Pawter because she's a drug addict, and now she's ready to save the asshole. And Pawter continues with the surgery, and she succeeds, and he survives. Meanwhile, Dutch either trusts or does not trust Dobbin, and Dobbin wants her to dance, but she wants him to do it first. So they both dance together, but she can't continue. So Davin wants her to hate his image so she can move on. And she aims daggers at him, and Davin needs to do the same to take the shot with her, but he can't do it, so it means she doesn't trust him. And their ship starts to be pulled into the storm on the planet, and the ship can't be activated. And Dutch finally destroys the device. Lucy activates the ship, and they get them to safety. When one of the criminals, meanwhile, finds the captain communicating with the company, he is thrown outside, but John gets him back to safety, and John brings the captain back, shoots the criminals, and the company arrives to get their man. And then Davin tells John they're broken, so he wants to be off the ship. And John said he slept with the one person he wasn't supposed to, so Davin has to figure out how to fix all this. So in Enemy Kalen, Dutch visits Davin. He's not doing too well. And the neural link is fixed and rerouted so they can track Killen. So they are going to project Dutch close to Killen's signature. She sees Killen. He doesn't see her, but she sees him and needs to get out, but she knows where he is. He's in the Reclamation Apprehension Coalition, the RAC. So they are going to find him. And Dutch says Killen always protected her and gave her hope, so John thinks she has it all wrong. So the ship heads to Rock, and the cover is that they are dissolving the team, and Davin says he attacked them. So the team has ended, and Davin uses a pulse charge, and he shuts down power all over Rock, and Davin is captured and says nothing to do with the power outage. Meanwhile, Dutch gets to Kylan's floor, and he's there, and they fence, but he gets the upper hand. And then he offers her tea. And Dutch threatens to inject herself with the needle, and she does. And John has the antidote, but wants to know why he's there. And asks the real question, why me? So she feigned being poisoned and takes off. Meanwhile, Davin and John get out. Dutch frees Lucy and initiates the ship to take them away. And she stays, but is shot in the leg, Dutch. And Killen stabs the shooter and picks her up. And he needs her to live and be with her team. And he admits he's level 6, whatever that means, a level 6 killjoy. And he sends her back via the pod. So Dutch returns to Davin and John. She lost a lot of blood, but Davin says level 6 killjoys are a myth. Well, apparently they're not, because Killen is one of them. Okay, so this finally brings us to Dark Matter, episodes 110. And 111. And it's been doing pretty well from a 0.21 to a 0.262. The destroyers for Ferris approach their ship, the Raza, and they launch a nuclear missile. But they disarm the missile and more ships arrive. And this is part of the rival Combine mech. So they drop the shields and the destroyers take off. And Commander Truffaut of the mech Combine has a job for them. They need to steal an object from this research facility. The crew need to think about it, but they decide to take the job, and one talks to two about it, and two reluctantly agrees. So they rendezvous with the Combine. Commander Truffaut wants Raza to work with her agents, and the target is this research station, and they have to get into a chamber in the lab to withdraw something. So the Combine board the Raza. Wexler, the leader, will get them through the chamber door to retrieve the object. And Wexler is interested in two, but two is not and breaks his wrist and ribs. And so is the mission over? No, they need five. But they don't have an ID for her like the others, so they smuggle her in among the supplies. The power goes down, but a droid is activated that fights them. Five is able to shock it. But then the entire battery is drained, so they can't power up the door. But Five can use the android's power to do that. And they open the door, they get the mechanism, the guards are overpowered, Six brings in a shuttle, they get back on board the Raza. And then Wexler shocks the droid, and the rest of the Combine hold the Raza crew prisoner, and Two is shocked by Wexler too. And Wexler wants the device, or Two is going to get blown out into space. So Three gives them the code, but Two is thrown into space anyway, and that's to be continued. So in the 11th episode, Two gets jettisoned into space, and the Raza crew are put into a vault, and they're going to hand them over to Galactic Authority. And so basically, they need someone outside to fix the drive because the FTL has been malfunctioning. So they release Vive, and Vaughn says, one of the members of this combine says he will do it, but he's attacked and they send off the ship to his death. But someone comes aboard the airlock and it's Two, and she gets out and breaks Vaughn's girlfriend's neck, Ash. And Five hugs Two, but Two can't get into the vaults because Wexler changed the code. And she tells Five to hide in the vents. So then Kane finds Ash's dead body, and the troops come aboard from the Demetria, and Two fights and kills them. And meanwhile, the crew are getting lightheaded in the vault. They're running out of oxygen. And more guards come on board. Two immobilizes them. Kane sees her and disarms her and is ready to shoot Two, but then Five shoots Kane dead. And then Two and Five get to the control room and hold Wexler at gunpoint. The Demetria leaves. Wexler is all alone, so Two plans to jettison Wexler out, but wants the code to open the vault and will let him out. He gives it to her. Five copies that, and the vault opens, releasing the crew. And then Two jettisons Wexler out into space to his death. So the droid says Two was engineered. She has a heart, liver, kidneys of a human, and has nine nanites. And the nanites protected her shield to protect her in space. And they have the device. They bring it to the combine, and that puts the device online. And something goes wrong. The whole planet breaks up and blows apart, and the Raza is transported away. Okay. And that's how that all ends. We're finally done, and we wanted to do that for 2 weeks, and we still have a lot more stuff to do in the meantime, but we are. On that note, why don't we go ahead and play our end theme songs for the evening? And let's start with The Prisoner.